Philippians chapter 3, verse number 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord, as we study the Bible. And Lord, help us just to point out some things that will help us study your word to properly, Lord, teach it, rightly divide it. And thank you, Lord, for this good group of folks that have shown up on Wednesday night. And I pray that you'd be with us in a special way. Meet with us now. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we want to serve you better. We want to be more like you. And Lord, you're going to caution us about some things tonight. Warn us, cause us to be wary or to be aware of some things that we ought to look out for. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to put these things, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds. And that we would be reminded of them, Lord, by your Holy Spirit at what time we might face them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, if you're a preacher, a verse like Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 is wonderful, because every preacher wants a three-point outline. And when you can just read a verse and it automatically gives you a three-point outline, it sure is wonderful. Say, what is it about preachers and three-point outlines? Well, let me give you three reasons why we do that. No, that's it. I don't think it's just a training. I don't think it's just a habit. I don't think it's just a tradition. I think that we serve a triune God. And it's amazing how wonderfully ordered the Bible is. When you go to study it, many, many, many times things fall in threes. Now, not always. I sometimes preach a five-point message. Probably three of them's God's and two of them's mine. But, just kidding. And some of you are so serious tonight. I just wish you'd smile. If a couple of you would just smile, I promise you, I'd stop trying to be funny if I could just get you to smile. But anyway. there's something about the triune God. There's something about the Trinity. By the way, even in math, it's very interesting that an entire study of math has revolved around one, not the circle and not the square, but the triangle. And it's just amazing. It's kind of a neat study. But I think a triune God is three in one. I think he made man in his image. And a lot of times he has written out his truth in a very orderly fashion. And you'll see that same triune God sometimes. I think maybe there's something to do with our thinking and the way he created us. The honest truth is, what I've found as a preacher, is if you go beyond 3 points, people have a hard time remembering and comprehending much extended beyond that. And I think that God made us, this fits for us. But like I said in verse number 2, it just has made it awful easy. Beware of dogs. Some of you are saying, I see that verse everywhere, Brother Jerry. And yes, they put it on little signs and plastered it everywhere. And so that's good. It's good when the Word of God is out there. Beware of evil workers. And so there's a couple of you in here that should have listened to that sign and heeded that sign on visitation a few times. Amen. And beware of concision. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. Now that last one, we'll get to it in a minute, but that beware of concision then prompts the Apostle Paul, and probably, to be honest with you, all three of them build up to the Apostle Paul then writing what he did in verse 3 through 9. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let me talk to you about what this means. All right, let me just break these down and give them to you. Number one, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Brother Jerry, what in the world is that talking about? Well, I always, if I'm not sure what that word means or what it's referring to, I will do a little Greek word study. And after I spent some time doing this, I was able to find in my Greek dictionary, Dictionary of Greek Words, that that word dogs means dogs. So that was a big help. And sometimes, by the way, when you're studying the Bible, that's what you'll find out. You'll have a word that you know. By the way, children, this isn't telling you to beware of dogs. It's that word dogs is a symbol or a word that represents a type of human being. And by the way, it's very interesting. So you say, well, what do you do if once you study the Greek word, if it doesn't tell you what it's talking about? Well, the best way to define Bible words is through Bible usage. The Bible explains itself. And so what I would do next is I would take the word dog and dogs, and I would type it in my little computer program and hit the search button, and every place in the Bible where the Bible refers to, says the word dog and dogs, and sometimes it uses the word talking about the animals. For instance, I'm gone blank here. Is it Lazarus and the rich man? When Lazarus was outside the rich man's door begging, the Bible says that the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, that's not talking about a type of human being that it's talking about. It's talking about canines. It's talking about Fido. It's talking about Rover. Okay? And it's talking about puppy dogs. That's what it's talking about. But some places, the Bible uses the word dogs in reference to a group of people or a type of person. And I'm going to have you turn to one of these. You might mark Philippians because we'll be right back there. But if you'll go over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I think that I'm not going to take you through all the places in the Bible where this is true. If you'd like to do that, you surely can. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. So you got 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. We see this, which is a conclusionary verse at the end of chapter number 2. Now, if you have a study Bible of some kind, I've just for years used the Scofield Bible. I'm used to it. I know where everything sets on the pages, so I'll probably be with it the rest of my life. But chapter 2, it says, warnings concerning apostate teachers. And then it breaks down. This whole chapter is warning you against apostate teachers. And what that is talking about is people that claim to be religious or claim to be Christians and even want to teach others or lead others, but they're apostate, which means what they're teaching is opposite of what the Bible says. They're leading people astray. And there are a lot of apostate teachers. There's a lot of false prophets. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 says that. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So we have to be careful. This entire chapter, I'm not going to teach the whole chapter, but this chapter is talking about Christians, in particular, those that would want to be in a teaching position or a leadership position. But the honest truth is, they are teaching false doctrine and causing people to be led astray, causing people to turn their back on the truth, causing people even to end up in hell because they listen to someone who claims to know the Bible and claims to be teaching the Bible, but they're teaching falsehoods, they're teaching heresy. And so this entire chapter deals with that. So the beware of dogs, let me just give you this because this is true throughout the Scriptures. When Paul says beware of dogs, he is talking about false teachers. He's talking about people who claim to be saved but are not, and who even want to be over or in a leadership over other people that are Christians, but they themselves are not saved, or if they are saved, they are teaching damnable heresies. Okay? Now, let me have you again. Let's read this first verse first because I think it's important. Chapter 2, verse 22 says, but it is happened unto them. Who is being referred to here? The them is talking about these false preachers or prophets or teachers, these Christians that want to claim that they're with their lips, they're something, but the honest truth is their lifestyles, and this is what this whole chapter teaches us their lifestyles don't stack up with their teaching. Oh, blessed old Baptist church members, would you look up here and listen a second and really listen to your preacher? Words are cheap. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And I don't want folks in our church to be led astray just because somebody's got a sing-song voice or somebody can talk a big, you know, smooch. And just, you know, come across as if they know everything and they're something. Listen, folks, you know what? I hope after you've been down the road a while, you sit there and you listen and you smile and you listen and you smile. Okay, great, fine. Then you know what you do if you got a little wisdom? You sit back and you take a look at the way they live. You take a look at their life. Now, does it stack up with what they say? Okay? All right, we need to be a little wiser, I think. Just because somebody, you know, I preached that sermon. Saying quack, quack doesn't make you a duck. Saying Lord, Lord doesn't make you a Christian. And just because you can quote some Bibles and you've got an opinion about everything and you're, you know, where are you Sunday morning? Where are you Sunday night? Where are you Wednesday night? When have you ever knocked on doors? Where's your burden for souls? Who are you trying to affect for the good? How do you treat the brethren? Amen. You know, I mean, after a while, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't just fall off the turnip wagon. Been saved since I was 5 years old. I'm going to be 45 next month. Can you do the math on that one? Well, after 40 years of being a Christian, I shouldn't be gullible. I shouldn't be simple. You know, just because somebody says something doesn't mean I just sit there and bobblehead and, oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, God bless their heart. Well, fine. Okay? And so be careful that you just don't fall into things. It'd be good for you to read chapter number 2. A lot of the characteristics of people that want to talk but don't want to walk it is found in this chapter. But notice what it says about them. Chapter 22, it says, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. I'm sorry, ladies. Sorry, kids. But that's what it says, so I got to read it, all right? The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, which means this. You know what? You can clean up a dog, you can housebreak a dog, and you can name a dog, and you can buy all kinds of things for them in the stores now. Little shoes for their feet, sweaters for them to wear, little hats they can put on. You can spend thousands of dollars on the collar. You can have implanted into their ear this little microchip so that if your little sweetheart ever strays away and it's found, they can scan it and know exactly where it came from. But let me tell you about your beautiful, sweet little dog. When it's out in the yard and it pukes, it'll eat it. Yes, your little lovely will do it too. You know why? Why? Because it's a dog. Because it's a dog. You know what? You can do everything you want to a dog, but a dog is going to be a dog. All right? And it says, notice it said that about the sow that was washed. And you know what? You can take the sow and you can say, all right, that's it. I'm going to housebreak this sow. I'm going to clean up this sow. I'm going to change this sow. And you can take it out of the pigsty and you can take it in the house. You can scrub it down and you can perfume it and you can put a ribbon around its neck. And you can get it a starring role on Green Acres. All the young people are like, what? Okay. You can make it oink and act, and people around it act like they can understand what it says. You can do all those things. But let me tell you something. You leave the back door open and the gate to the wallow open, and the first chance it gets, it's going to bolt out that door and head right there to the slop and roll around, and it's in the slop and the manure and everything else, and you'll have to start all over again. Now, folks, listen to me. Beware of dogs. All right, listen to me, Christians. Beware of dogs. That's what the Bible says. What's that saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying some people want to say they're not a dog, but they still eat their vomit. Some people want to say they're a sheep, but how come every chance they get, they run straight to the wallow? Folks, listen to me. Some people just use good-hearted people. Some people just use Christian people. Because you know why? They know you love, you have love and you have compassion. And by the way, if there's a fool in this room, I'm the biggest one. I'm probably the biggest sucker of all. And I'll go the extra mile, go the extra mile, go the extra mile. I'll do everything I can. But you know what? Folks, at some point, sometimes you just got to say, you know why they don't want to be a sheep? Because they're not. You know why they don't want to act like a sheep? Because they're not. You know why they don't want to lay down in green pastures and they want to go wallow in the slop? Because they are what they are. Folks, just because someone says they're saved don't mean they're saved. And so be careful. I'm talking to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Like I said, I've gone down to the gas station, put gas. My dad, if there's anybody worse than me, it was Dad. I'll just tell you. But you know, he just had a heart. But I mean, I've gone down, I've bought groceries, I've tried to help people, I've gone, and thank God, and I don't regret one bit of it. If I'm going to err, I want to err that way. But folks, listen to me, there's people that, and I'm going to tell you something, if you were in that office, there are people that do nothing but make a living off good-hearted people. And they'll get with one person till they can soak everything they can out of them. And then you know what? They'll run to the wallow. Then they'll show up somewhere else and they'll suck everything they can out of them. Then they'll run back to the wallow. Now you know what they need? They need to be saved. You need to be saved. Say, Brother Jerry, how do you know sometimes? Listen to me. A lot of people want help. Help, which means they want physical help. But when you start opening the Bible and say, let me see if I can help you what the core problem is, because these things that you want help with are just branches and leaves. They're not the root. And all of a sudden, they don't want anything to, they don't want to be reproved. They don't want to be answerable to what the Scripture says. They don't want to have to be obedient to what the Scripture says. But they want everybody to feel sorry for them and do for them and pity them and give to them. And hey, you know what? Oink, oink. You know, at some point, you just have to say, brother, listen to me. I am going to help you. Let me tell you, I'm going to help you. I'm going to pray that you get saved. Because then you'll be hungry for the Scriptures. I can genuinely help you. But you're not going to get any help, really be helped, until you are born again, till you're converted from the inside out. And so just remember that, folks. And I hope that you'll balance that. Some of you are too mean. You won't help anybody. Some of you are too gullible. And I think somewhere in the middle, we got to find the wisdom of God. All righty? And I'm not saying who's who. I'm just saying that's the possibility of what's represented by all of us. And so help people, love people, go the extra mile with people. But sometimes what they truly need, they don't want. And that's the gospel. They need to be born again. And then you know what? They'll have spiritual appetites. And all of a sudden, when they have a chance to go to the wallow, they won't want to go to the wallow. I don't think I've ever gone by a pig wallow and seen a sheep out there in the middle of it slopping around with the pig. You see what I'm saying? And so be careful, folks. Okay, and I don't want you to be overly harsh. Every person that's saved and born again is going to have some struggles. There might be some backsliding. But you know what? If they go to the wallow, they're not happy in the wallow. Okay, they're not happy there. So just use some godly discernment. Matthew chapter 7, I won't take any more time with this, but Jesus told us, listen, an evil tree can't bring forth good fruit, and a good fruit can't bring forth evil fruit. And he was telling us, listen, by their fruits you will know them. He's like, you can't read hearts. He was telling his disciples, you can't read the hearts. I can, but you can't. But you got to deal with all kinds of people, and you got to use some discernment. And the best thing to do is not to hear what they say, but to see what they do. And to see what kind of fruit is produced in their life. So watch that, okay? We've got awfully good people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have awfully tender-hearted people. We have people that I think many of you go the extra mile to help people. But just be careful in this area, okay? All right, number two. Let's go back to Philippians. And I'm gonna hit this real quick because I think, again, this outline so beautifully. And I think it's always interesting when right in the middle of a letter that's written to the local church, God inserts a verse that contains three bewares. So I think that this is probably Since this is a letter written to a local church, this is probably areas in the local church where we've got to be careful. Be wary of, or beware of, or be aware of these type of people. The second one is beware of evil workers. Now again, listen to me, because again, folks, this just requires godly discernment, godly wisdom. It just really does. Evil workers, what's that talking about? It says this, it says, Christians, your job is to go out and win the world to Jesus Christ. To find people, and I think this is very important. I try to teach our young people this, and during our youth soul winning, when I used to teach youth soul winning, I really believe this. I ask God when I go soul winning to lead me to prepared hearts. Because I think a lot of times what we do is we waste time on people who are not ready to hear the gospel. I think we ought to try to give the gospel to everybody we can. But, you know, I won't stand there and talk to somebody that's obviously disinterested. They could care less. There might be two doors down. You know, don't stand there and argue with the Jehovah's Witness for an hour. When two doors down, there could be someone who just lost their mother that's been praying that God would send somebody to talk to them about what happens after people die. You know, so just be careful. Be careful, the Bible says, secondly, of evil workers. Now, there's a certain type of person that as a congregation, as members of a local church, we ought to be wary of. As a mom, as a dad, you need to watch this. As teenagers, you need to be smart enough to be aware of this. There are people, and by the way, evil workers, very simple. Evil, I've taught you this, is different than sin. Sin is bad. Evil is horrible. But the word sin means to miss the mark. I mean, if you look up that word into a Greek, it means to miss the mark. Like I would be taking a bow and arrow and I'd be aiming at a deer and I'd shoot and I'd fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means even when we are attempting at our very best to be as God, we fall way short of it. So, but sin is failing in the act of trying. Now, evil is different. Evil, by the way, evil, the word evil, if you look it up, means injurious, harmful, ill, noisome, wicked, bad. Notice this, injurious, harmful. Workers means to toil at something, to be consumed by it, to work at it, to put effort into it. So what the Bible's saying is you need to learn to mark people that always are trying to be injurious or harmful or hurtful or wicked towards somebody else. I mean, I'm not talking about they have a bad day and do it once. I mean, they work at it. Their lives revolve around who they don't like and how can I hurt them. And the Bible says when you see someone that's consumed by that in their life, you stay away from them. And by the way, the book of Proverbs backs this up. Boy, I wanted to do a whole word study, and I'm not going to have the time to do it tonight. But remember, evil is the premeditated harm to someone else. They don't like that person, so every time I get a chance, I'm going to say something bad about him. I don't like that person, so every time I get a chance, I'm going to attack his character and harm his reputation. I'm going to hurt him if I can in some way, or I'll hurt his family somehow if I can. That is not the character of Jesus Christ. That is not Christ-likeness. And so, listen, I know that there's people and that sometimes will make you mad or make you upset. But let me tell you something, folks. Don't get a vendetta against anybody. And I'll show you that that's not right. If we went to the book of Proverbs, we'd see that people who deal in evil, evil workers, Proverbs chapter 3 and Proverbs chapter 14 teach us that they devise evil. Proverbs chapter 12 teaches us that they then deceive to do evil. And Proverbs chapter 16 talks about that they dig and dig and dig till they find evil. It's interesting. Here's a person that's consumed with this thing. And it's like, who can I hurt today? Who can I ruin today? Who can I damage today? Who can I say something bad about today? Who can I harm today? Now, if I'm listening and I'm hearing this constantly come through their words and in their actions, I mark that person and I beware of them. I don't make them a close friend. I don't make them a confidant. I certainly, as a pastor, wouldn't put them in any area of responsibility. I mean, I want to warn the congregation about those kind of people. Because it seems like their whole lives, and I wish I could go to all the scriptures, but let me just have you jump back to Proverbs chapter 6. And I think Proverbs chapter 6 gives the earmarks of an evil man. The earmarks of an evil man. Now watch this. Because again, folks, we have got to learn some discernment in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've got to work with all kinds of people. I've got to try to help all kinds of people. But God tells me to beware of certain kinds of people. He says, beware of them. Who? Somebody will come in and try to, with their mouth, profess that they're a Christian, but then spread false heresies. You watch that kind of a person. You beware, congregation, of that kind of person. Watch somebody who may come in and try to pawn themselves off as a Christian, but you know what? They toil endlessly at trying to hurt and harm and injure others. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16, I think this, and if you read the verses prior to that, it's interesting because verse 12 says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. And by the way, sometimes it's not what he says, it's how he rolls his eyes, it's the look on his face, it's the little whispered comment, it's how he stands and put his hands on his hip. I mean, there's all kinds of signals that go beyond words, and Christians get some discernment. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. And then that leads us into this listing that we be, verse 15. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And it's very interesting because when you do a study of the evil man, in Proverbs chapter, again, if you got one of those computer programs or you got a concordance, just take the word evil and just read in your devotion sometime all the verses that speak about an evil man or where the word evil is found. It's very interesting. You'll get educated. But then it says, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. And I don't think he's gotten off message here. I think he's given us an earmark of the evil man. Yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look. So, Brother Jerry, how do you know? Well, and listen, you can't reach into anybody's life and take one instance and label them. There's not a person in here in this room that hasn't at times had a proud look. There hasn't anybody at this time that hasn't had a lying tongue. And every one of these is true. But you watch somebody who it is their habit of life. They're very arrogant. They're very proud. Just try to reprove them. Just try to teach them something. Just try to tell them that they're wrong. Good luck. A lying tongue. Folks, listen to me. How many times do you have to grab an electric fence before you realize it's on? How many times do you have to find out a guy's lied before you figure out the guy's a liar? Now, we've all lied. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. There's a difference between lying and being a liar. For some people, it's a habit of life. Habitual liars. Hands that shed innocent blood. By the way, look out for people that are always trying to run down people that are just a little higher on the growth ladder than they are. So they're, you know, there's two ways of, in people's minds, I think there's two ways of equating themselves with someone who's grown farther than them. Some of them could look up and learn from them. If you were wise, you'd look up and learn from them and find out how they grew and even maybe talk to them or get some counsel from them and let them help you. Some people, that's just too much work. It's just a lot easier to knock somebody down that's up here so that you feel like that you've torn them down to your level than it is to actually have to work hard and grow to where they are. And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, people that are walking around always attacking and trying to, so it says, he that sheddeth innocent blood, but I'm talking about trying to harm or hurt people that are innocent, but they're going to make them, try to seem to make them feel, look guilty. All right, be careful. He that soweth, I skipped a verse. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Always scheming. Always coming up with some way to cause problems or mischief. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. So their heart deviseth and their feet run to do it. They've got this stirred up and that stirred up and this stirred up and that stirred up. And then about the time somebody comes over and tries to put this fire out, they got one coming over here. And their whole life's like that. Who do they get along with? Okay, a false witness that speaketh lies. I think it's interesting. Twice that's repeated. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I just think, folks, that what we've got to do is have enough discernment. I don't want you to just give up people, label people. But after a while, if you see these type of things, you need to beware of that type of person. Beware of that type of person. I think one of the interesting things, could we take a second and do it? I shut Proverbs 6, but I'm back. You say, well, Brother Jerry, how should we be? Just look at those seven things and be the opposite. You know what I look for in a Christian that I feel like is probably pretty squared away? And they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But if I see a humility about them, I see a truthfulness about them, I see them reaching out to help and encourage the innocent and brag on the innocent, not hurt the innocent. I see somebody whose heart is not busy devising wicked imaginations, but whose heart is studied in this matter of how can I be a blessing? How can I be a help? How can I reach more people for Christ? They concentrate on the positives of lives, trying to be something or do something productive for the kingdom of God. All right, if their feet are swift in running to anything, it's to run to help somebody. They're servants. They speak the truth. They don't sow discord among the brethren. Matter of fact, they're peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They see two brothers not getting along, and you know what they'll try to do? They'll try to broker a peace amongst them. They'll try to say, listen, sometimes we're not all going to agree, but listen, let's not let that get between us. We're brothers. Let's love each other. You know, I'm never going to get some of you to be Chicago Bears fans, even though you really ought to be. So we're going to disagree in some matters. And by not listening to me, you've had a pretty happy last 15 years. But you'll see one of these days, I'm right. But we're not going to agree about every little thing. But we're brothers. We're in the family of God. Okay, and I'm not talking about, you know, solid doctrinal differences. I'm talking about incidentals. You know, okay, my personality's a little different than yours. Guess what? We're still brothers. Okay? All right? So we're talking about being exercising a patience amongst the family of God. You know, a realization that, you know what, God didn't make everybody like me or didn't make everybody like you. And God uses different personalities and God gives different gifts. And guess what? Hallelujah. Because what I can't do with my personality, somebody with a different personality can do it. Or somebody I can't reach with my personality, someone with a different personality can reach them. Amen. So they're different. It don't make them bad. So they grew up different than you did. So what? So they don't see everything the way you did. So what? You know, since when am I the measure of perfection? And anybody that falls short must be something wrong. We got to get off that. Folks, I'm trying to talk to you as your pastor. Listen, it's the only way this church is going to grow, and it's the only thing that's going to work. I mean, it's only going to work. I mean, you know, we've got to understand, God's going to bring all kinds of different people in here. Different backgrounds. There are going to be some diversities. There's going to be some differences. But I'm not talking about people that don't believe. We already talked about a person that comes in and sneaks in and starts teaching heresy. There's no tolerance for that. I'm just talking about personality things. You know, why don't you just... This is what I think when I was young, I did this. I looked at a person and sized them up from a distance the first time I was going to meet him, and tried to think of why I probably wouldn't like them. And you know what? I think there was a great moment in my life when I just turned that thing and made a 180. And now I just decide before I meet someone that I'm going to like them. I'm going to find something to like about them. And anybody that you don't like in this room or another Christian, for everything that you can list that you think's bad, I can give you something good about that person. And you could see it too if you would. And by the way, before I'm going to waste any of my time making lists on somebody else, I've got enough on my plate that needs fixed in Jerry Ross's life. And I think maybe when I get all that fixed, then I might be qualified to go around and deciding what's wrong with everybody else. And if we could just get that, it would help it would help the work of God here tremendously. It really would. Enough said on that. Now, the last one, concision. Beware of concision. By the way, the next statement, chapter 3, gives you an inkling as far as what this is talking about. That word means a cutting, and it's talking about the Jewish people that tried to connect a Jewish custom or a work to salvation. Beware of dogs, people who claim to be saved but are not. Beware of evil workers, people who labor intensively to be injurious or harmful or spread discord or cause trouble. Beware of those type of people. Premeditated intent to cause problems amongst the brethren. Watch those people. Mark them. Stay away from them. All right. Number 3, beware of concision. Now, this is people who insist that good works or religious acts are necessary for salvation. And Paul fought this everywhere he went. Now, I know that the main culprits in Paul's day were the Jews. Paul would show up to a Gentile city, preach the gospel, people would be saved, a church would be planted. Paul would move on down the road, and here come the Jews following him, some of those that still held to the Old Testament law, and said that there were some things in the Old Testament law that if these new converts didn't do, they were not saved. They tried to connect them to salvation. And one of the big things with the Jews was this matter of circumcision. But what this is talking about is any good work or any religious act or anything. Listen, it's different in this day. I don't really have that problem. You know, I don't win a person to Jesus Christ, and in this area at least, have a Jewish person come and say, now if you don't keep the Old Testament law and do this and do this and do this and do this, you're going to go to hell. You're not saved all the way till you start. And they try to add works to salvation. But we do constantly fight the same problem, because there are doctrinal concisions. Let me tell you something. Can I vent? I always ask you, and then I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, right? I am so tired of a bunch of churches that won't walk across the street to win somebody to Christ, don't have a soul-winning program, don't have a bus ministry, their people don't go into the workplace and witness and win people to Christ. But they set back, and when the Blessed Hope Baptist Church people win somebody to Jesus Christ, they go after them like crazy. All of a sudden they get saved, they start coming to church. These other churches notice that. By the way, they didn't care a hoot about that person when they were lost. But all of a sudden they're going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and they got saved. So now here they come running at them with their concision doctrines. Oh, you're going down that Baptist church. That Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I need to tell you a little bit about the history of that church. You know about that preacher that started that church? You know he hates old people? And one of our new converts were told that just not too long after he got saved. The guy that started this church hates old people. My wife laughed and she said, I shouldn't say this, I'm sorry. She said, he is one. How could he hate them? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm in trouble when I get home. Now he's married to a young chick, but he's he hates old people. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, you know, Brother Estel told me once, I said, how you doing? He said, I don't know, ask my neighbor. They know more about me than I do. So, I don't know anything about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just attend here. The experts that never walk in the door and never visit at one time, they know everything about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They can tell you everything. Now, they never have been here once in their life. You know, they've never darkened the door. They never set foot on the property, but they're experts about everything that goes on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All right, whatever. Okay. I think they're in one of these categories here. All right. But here they come. By the way, watch out for the Camelites. Watch out for those that want to. I hate this doctrine of, hey, you know, you got saved, but you're not saved until you're baptized. That is a heresy. Yeah. That's a heresy. That's a wicked heresy. And there's people around here that go after our converts like crazy. And the charismatics go after them. Charismatic target Baptist converts. Charismatic churches are the biggest culprits in the area for wanting to find some little old tin can van and follow around the Blessed Hope Baptist Church bus. I'm telling you, they do it. And they watch where we pick up and who we pick up. And the minute somebody starts to get saved and starts getting their life squared away and get under sound doctrine, they'll come in there and offer them anything in the world to get them over into a church to teach them concision doctrines. I'm glad that you prayed and trusted Jesus, but you know, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not saved. Next thing you know, they got them off in false doctrine. And I've watched people walk that path, folks. Sooner or later, you know what? They just can't do enough things to stay saved. So you know what they do? They bail out. We knock on their doors every day. Well, I used to go, but you know what? I just couldn't live it. I just couldn't do it. That's concision doctrine. You know, and so watch this stuff, because they go after our converts. I'm just telling you, it's a fact. It's not just Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's all over the country. And, you know, if they're that concerned about souls, they ought to be out winning their own. If they had a true gospel that would work, they ought to go win their own. But they find someone who gets truly saved, I believe, but then get them sidelined in false doctrine. So be very careful about that. Paul, by the way, let me read this and we'll conclude. Paul says this. He said, some of you, the Jewish people that want to show up and say, you know what, I know that you've been saved, but you know what, there's some Old Testament, some Jewish. And Paul said, listen, if you want to go to bragging, then let's go to bragging. Now notice what Paul says, and then I'll conclude this, but don't lose me, okay? Look at verse number 4. Paul says this. Verse number 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, if you want to talk about circumcision, he said, where it needs to happen is in your spirit. You see. He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. None. No confidence in the flesh. Then he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, all right, some of you are showing up, bragging about this, that, and the other. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now what they were saying is, they were saying, listen, I'm an authority on this, and I have done these things, and therefore I'm going to heaven. Paul said, well, let me show you these things that I've done. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. He said, I was way up the ladder, bud. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, let me tell you something. You talk to anybody that knew me back in my BC days before I met Jesus, and he said, that you won't find a one that can say there's this one part of the law that we seen him. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I followed it every little jot tittle. I followed it. You see, blameless. But notice this. But what things were gained to me? All that does is heap up a bunch of praise on yourself. He said, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, here's what you have to do. You've got all these things that you're counting on because you've done them. Works of the flesh. You have to look at all these things and say, all right, I'm either going to trust in these and put all my chips on this pile right here, and this is going to get me to heaven, or I've got to say all of it's. He's going to say, I counted them but dung. He says, those things that were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ, I was willing to throw all those. Because see, Christ stands here and offers true salvation by grace through faith alone. And you show up with all this stuff that you did, or you joined, or you were baptized, or you memorized these many verses, or you were this good to your neighbor, you gave this so much money to this. I've got all this stuff. This is my righteousness, confidence in the flesh. Jesus said, let me tell you something. I got the free gift of eternal life, but you got to empty your hand to reach over here and get it. And Paul said, let me tell you, I had all this stuff, and I looked at Jesus Christ, and those things that were gained to me, I threw away, and I said, only Jesus. By the way, this is what this whole section's talking about. Those things that were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things. What all things? Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, all that stuff, I counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Why? Because you can't have both. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, refuse, that I may win Christ. What he was saying was this: you got to make a choice. You see, these folks that are coming in with their concision doctrine and are saying, you know, I believe in salvation by grace, but you also have... No, they don't believe in salvation by grace, because grace means unmerited favor. Grace means you can bring nothing but empty hands and a bended knee and a repentant heart to God. And then you can receive the gift of eternal life. But you show up with all your stuff. Let me tell you why I'm a good Christian. Let me tell you why I'm going to heaven. I did this, and I joined this, and I gave this, and I went here and done this for this. I did. He said, let me tell you something. You've got to take all that and empty your hands. That's the only way to receive the gift of eternal life. And if I ask you today, it's a good question to conclude the message. If I ask you today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? And you know, I think I would. And I asked, why? Why are you going to heaven when you die? Why are you confident that you're going to heaven when you die? If your answer begins with, well, I, and then I did, and then I said, and then I gave, and then I joined, and you got all this list of stuff that you've done, and that's why you think you're going to heaven, let me tell you something, you're not on your way to heaven. Because nothing that we've done can earn us a place in heaven. And if we're trusting in anything, you can't mix grace and works. If you've got one thing left there, even if it's baptism, if you leave one thing in your hand and you're not willing to count it all but dung, count it as loss that I may win Christ, then you're not saved. This needs to be said. Like I said a couple Sundays ago, I'm getting to the point where everybody's saved. Oh, they're saved. Oh, they're saved. They're saved. Listen, I know what kind of church they go to. I know what doctrine's taught. I know what they believe. Don't tell me they're saved. What you're saying is they're religious and they talk about Jesus. You know, well, so did the Jews that came in after Paul. Are you listening? And so it's very important that you know that you're saved. And then last, verse number 9 says it all. What a beautiful verse. He said, "I have," into verse 8, "I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now listen to this verse. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness," listen to this, "the righteousness which is of God by faith." No works. By faith. You know what? If Jerry Ross ends up in heaven, it's not going to be because of one thing that I did or anything that I am. It's going to be all Jesus. All Jesus. All Jesus. And you know what? No one can truly be saved till they come to that conclusion. A lot of times they want to pray the sinner's prayer. They want to say that they got saved. But in their heart, they are not trusting only in Christ. They still are trusting in something they did along with what they are now doing. Another religious act in the long list of religious acts. But when you've got to empty your hand to win Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take what we've learned tonight and speak, Lord, in a powerful way to our hearts. Lord, we need to beware of dogs. We need to beware of evil workers. We need to beware of concision. Now I pray, Lord, that you'd give us a deep understanding. Now, Lord, we need the wisdom of God. I need your wisdom. Lord, I sometimes honestly don't know what to do when dealing with people. And Lord, I guess if I'm going to err, help me to err on the side of mercy. If I'm going to err, help me to err on the side of love and compassion. But at the same time, Lord, help me not to ignore plain Bible teaching. And Lord, I pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some wonderful things are happening here, and the Lord would like to get in the midst of it. I'm sorry, the devil would like to get in the midst of it and mess it up. And I pray, Lord, that we would be mature in our understanding and in our wisdom in this matter of being on the lookout, being wary or aware of certain things that we ought to identify, single out, separate ourselves from. And the Lord give us wisdom in this matter. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.